It's the Fire Zone Show, back in the lab for the 2023 NFL season. It is off and rolling. I mean, we're just in the preseason. Just finished preseason week one around the league. Everybody got their first preseason game in. But this is really it, man. It doesn't stop, you know, from this point on. It's from this game. I guess you got that week or two after the last preseason game before the regular season starts. But that's it. Like, trains left the station.
Yeah. It's party time now. Start knocking off your rust and get ready.
And that's what we're going to try to do right here with this show tonight. It's, at least for me, knock off a little bit of rust because it's been a minute. But, you know, we're going to do what we always do here. We're going to talk defense. So we'll look back at the Ravens preseason game. You know, got that win against the Eagles. We'll kind of go through like we do normally, position by position, just talk about some guys who – either caught our eyes for good reason or maybe for not so good reason. Talk about the joint practices with the Commanders. And I guess right here, right at the top, let's start with the news of the day, the injury to Marlon Humphrey coming out of the joint practices. I never saw specifically what it was, foot injury, got surgery or was getting surgery today. Supposed to reportedly use whatever adjective you want. To miss about a month, but you never know how that goes. So obviously that's an important piece on your defense. We all know all pro Marlowe and you know who he is, but you know, you kind of were the voice of reason out there in the Twitter streets as panic was raining all over the place today. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak on that here on the show to just why, not that, you know, you don't understand, you know, the what Marlon brings to the defense and what he does on the defense. You weren't saying that, but it was just in your opinion, based on the system that they play now, it's not, you know, the sky has fallen, sort of panic the way that, you know, we were seeing on Twitter.
Well, I think people have a little bit of trauma from the 2021 season and death on a stick, where we were all out of corners and we out there playing man with corners who had just come back from IR 6 weeks, one-on-one on the outside. Like we're this team is not built in that fashion anymore. This defense is built around a system now. And when you're in a system like this, like corners, yes, you want your most talented guys out there because they're going to make the great plays and the extraordinary plays. Well, we don't need that yet. Not in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. What you need is consistent and normal in a sense. And with this type of defense, you don't have to be great at corner. You're paying safeties. You have two safeties who are now Hamilton and Marcus Williams, where you're paying one, I think they're paying him like 12, 13 million. And Mr. Hamilton will soon be on that same plateau. So there's a change in the philosophy. Because you have corners now in a system that can play zone. You don't have to be man-oriented. You don't have to be scheming to one guy and saying, oh, we've got to cover up Jamar Chase with a safety over top because we play man coverage. No, you can design zones where everything's in front of you. And we've seen games the Ravens have done that. So I'm not worried. If this was a, you know, season ending, you know, foot injury, however that might be. Yeah, it might be a little worried now because, you know, come down the middle, you know, end of the season where you need your horses to make the big plays, you want those guys in place. I get that. But from what we've heard, what we've kind of, you know, picked up on, that It's a foot injury. Sounds like bone spurs to me. Maybe some, you know, some cartilage left over from an ankle injury that is just in the way. And, you know, instead of him trying to play through it and see if it breaks apart in the first, you know, couple of weeks of the season, just go ahead and get it done. Mm-hmm. And you'll be back week three, week four, and you know, they're playing 17 games.
Yeah. Oh.
So they'll be good to go for 14 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they'll figure it out. And they got guys coming back. I wouldn't be surprised they brought in one more veteran, just to have them,
yeah,
in a sense. But I think they like what they have. I think they like what they have with the rookies they have on the squad. I think they feel comfortable with Rock coming back in the next week. Don't forget about Brandon Stevens.
Yeah,
you know, he's not a full time corner, but he can spot you out there and not make you look crazy. So they got things to get them by. Now, if you thought this team was going to come out of the gates and be the number one defense, no, it's not going to happen. Still got a pass rush to develop.
Yep.
But the system will help this team, like it did the last eight games of the season last year, put themselves in position. Because I played in a very hybrid defense when I was in college. We played a ton of zone. We played some sprinkled in man. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks in game situations where everything starts to click and everything settles down and everybody kind of gets a feel of what guys are doing. Because even if you played with guys over a few years, they slowed down. Maybe they speed up. Maybe they've gotten a little better in their strength. Maybe they got a little better, you know, a little worse in weakness. So you have to figure that stuff out. So, give it time. It's not going to be crazy. They're not going to give up 40 points like they did against Miami. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, a couple things I wanted to ask you about that. And I agree. I do agree with you. Because, I mean, we talked. How many times did we talk about it last year where we said, you know, the philosophy now has become keep the lid on the cookie jar, right? Don't, yeah. Don't let anything over the top. Keep it all in front of you. Rally up, make tackles. You'll have opportunities to make plays on the ball just by nature of being in zone and guys having their eyes, you know, where they can see the ball coming out. And we saw them. And I know, you know, a lot of the talk this offseason has been about Hamilton playing more of a traditional safety role and less at nickel. They might have to kind of go back on that a little bit now, if that was even ever really going to be true anyway. Because right. We saw that for basically the second half of last year where he kind of settled in at that nickel spot. And so, yeah, you have Marlon and you have Marcus Peters, but, you know, it's not like you haven't played with somewhat similar personnel. Like I just said, big difference if you lose Marlon. Peters at this point, I don't know if there would be a big difference between a Rockyson and a Marcus Peters at this point in their career. Now, Peters is always going to have them ball skills. I mean, like, I'm not going to discredit my man. No, he is what he is. But just physically, athletically, might not be a big difference between those two guys at this point.
No, there was a reason why Marcus Peters played the field boundary, the field corner. He had help with Kyle Hamilton underneath and Marcus Williams over the top. So he could be more aggressive. Now the problem was Chuck Clark couldn't get over the top sometimes, which teams would catch them in that because you have to sprinkle that in and cover two. And that's just Marcus Peters with the bad calf, you know, probably playing at best 80% last year.
Yeah.
You know, he may be a little bit better this year, but I still believe it was the right move to let him go. I think that has just been adding age and a guy who is 2 years removed from a really bad injury. And just coming off a calf that he's fighting all year. You know, eventually age catches up with you. Father Time always wins.
Always undefeated. John Thompson used to always say, Father Time is undefeated. So again, I just want to be clear on that, because somebody going to hear this and be like, oh, he said Rocky Sin is better than Marcus Peters. Huh. Athletically, at this point in their careers, where Marcus Peters is, and age, we just talked about that factor, and where Rocky Sin is. Ball skills, we know who Marcus Peters is. Okay. Yeah. When it comes to taking away the ball, very few people have done it at the rate that he's done it since he came into the league. So that is what it is. I just want to get that straight. So, you know, people don't come at me sideways. The other thing, before we move away from that, we talked about this a little bit. I just thought it was kind of an interesting angle, another sort of part of this Humphrey injury to kind of talk about. I asked you about, okay, so when you lose one of your frontline guys, we'll use this same example. You lose, you know, a frontline corner, right, a starter-type corner. And you already have opposite him either some guys who are still somewhat young in your defense, like maybe they were here last year, so this is their second year going into it, or you have some new guys, right? This is their first year in the defense. Does that cause you to be a little bit more basic in how you call things because you've got new guys, or like I said, guys who are still young in the defense? And so, you know, communication is huge. We know that on defense. In the secondary, as you know, maybe is as important as anywhere else on the defense. And so maybe you don't want to do too much with all of that kind of newness going
right.
on. But you told me, yeah, to some extent, but not overly, right?
No, yeah. Because you still have to call the game. You still have to – this is where – you are, as a coach, you need to do your due diligence at some point with these guys. You need to know what they're good at and what they're bad at. Now, you game situations, you're going to have to test that out. So, myself, I'm not going to put myself in a bind, but I need to see if he can handle if I call a zone fire or something like that. Because you're not going to be able to cover every circumstance. And I can't change the way I'm going to call a defense in the game. So there's a little bit of caution, but that fades away relatively quickly, because you got to remember, your basic stuff is going to be your zone coverages. It's going to be your simulated pressures. They're going to be your basic man blitzes. Now, I can call a game off of that stuff and be just fine.
Yeah.
And if you're in the game, I'm expecting you to know your basic packages that we have in. Now, if I, you know, if that was if I had Marlon Humphrey in the game, maybe I have that extra package or something where I can go, Marlon can read it and he's seen it 100 times. I can call it. And he's not going to react up. He's going to sink because he knows what he's seeing.
Yeah.
That's where you may not see that call made, or I may have to call it late in the game because I know it's the only thing that's left in the cupboard and the guy's going to do it or he's not. Or I'm going to try to get communicated through Roquan and say, hey, on this coverage, tell that corner, I know the cover says jump number 2, but in this situation, I need you to sink. Let them know.
Yeah.
They come out 2x2, I need him to sink. They come out 3x1, he can play it normal.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense to me. I guess we'll save the game for last. We'll talk about the joint practices. You know, we'll do it chronological. As the last thing I'll say about the corner thing, something I'll be looking for, and I guess we'll get an opportunity to see it Monday, as soon as Monday night. Not that Marlon was going to be playing in the second preseason game anyway, but you know, you'll still get a look at some of these young guys. Couple things that I look for is, can you defend the vertical? You know, so in situations where, let's say it's not a split safety sort of shell, you got a post safety for whatever reason, he's occupied by something else. So you truly are on your own. Can you defend the vertical? Right. So that's one of the things that I look at. A lot of times, like you said, these guys are already starting from off. They're going to get back, you know, to protect that. So I look at that. Can you come up and make tackles? Because It's great to say keep everything in front of you, but if you can't come up and tackle the ball, then that's a problem. So I look for that too. And then probably the thing that I think maybe causes the most confusion is when you got to sort stuff out. Mm-hmm. Bunches, stacks, or even like flood kind of stuff where guys are coming across and you got to sort it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going where? How are we going to switch this off? How are we going to pass this off? Because, you know, you can get crazy with that stuff. Are we boxing it? Are we locking it? Are we hi-hatting it? Are we low-hat? Like, you got all this terminology right. That can, you know, basically tell everybody, here's how we're playing this. So I'll be watching kind of all of those things just to see, you know, how whoever ends up kind of being their guys there, because we still don't know yet. I mean, you know, it's all our projection. If you say, well, if Rocky Sin is healthy, he was going to be the guy opposite Marlon. Okay, maybe. Maybe it'd be JAD.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be Brandon Stevens. You know, at this point, I think what you probably can feel comfortable saying is all of those guys are going to play if they're healthy. They're all going to play. So maybe Worley even plays some more corner, even though.
Leave him where he belongs.
Okay, I'm just saying, if you're in a pinch.
No.
If those other guys don't come back healthy.
No.
And you just have bodies.
No. No.
Okay. Well, I mean, who else gonna play if those guys are still hers? Who else gonna play?
I put Kyle Hamilton out there first.
Okay. Well, he has played nickel, so
yeah. Well,
he may be a nickel.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. I'm saying, just
leave Worley where he belongs. He's a strong safety. He's good. He's actually pretty decent at it. He ain't worried about contact.
Look good in that game. I'm sure we'll talk about it when we get there. But, yeah, look pretty decent in that game. Missed a couple tackles early on. But, I mean, you know, to be expected. You're making that transition.
It's a different – it's just different sight lines. It's different alleys.
You see everything.
Yeah.
You see everything. Instead of just, gorgeous. Like, focusing on one kind of guy or one part of the field, you got to see it all.
That's why I love playing middle linebacker, because I was in the middle of everything.
Yeah, you got to see it all. And now you're coming downhill – trying to make tackles in space, you know, you ain't got the sideline to help you. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. And you also have this little shadow of a doubt in the back of your head, like, was I supposed to be back there?
We have no post. There is no post.
There's no post.
That happened a few times last year. Not putting that on him. There's just situations where that happened a couple times, particularly in that Miami game. That happened a couple times. They got that worked out as the season went on. Okay, the joint practices. Everybody has seen the fights by now. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on fights. I mean, that's just like what comes with joint practices. I just expect it. Anytime they announce that they're going to be doing them, I just expect that they're going to be fights, because that's just the way it goes. Typically, it's around this time. It's like the second preseason game-ish. So you've been in camp for a couple of weeks, and this is the first time you're going against somebody other than your teammates. And it's time to let some of it out. You know, it's just how it is. So I'm not that worried about that. I don't know that anybody was worried. It just, you know, it's a fight, so it gets publicity. But in terms of what's happening in the actual practice, the football that's taking place in these practices, I think both of us kind of watch bits and pieces of the live stream. I can't say that I saw the whole thing either day. And then you see clips that people post, you know, online. Just sort of your big picture takeaways of these practices. And I guess number one, I don't think I ever asked you this. What do you think of do you like this idea of doing this, of joint practices? Because it's something they haven't always done. It started a few years ago, right, where they really started doing it.
Here, it has its merits. I get that you see how guys react to different people, because you do get comfortable with guys in practice. You know how they're going to move. You know how they're going to try to cut you off. So you if you're having a little stiff day, maybe you cheat a little bit on some stuff. And you get away with it because you kind of know what's going on around you. So, yeah, the changeup is nice. As a defensive player, I think it's more fun in these joint practices, because you've seen is your own color. Mm-hmm. And us defensive guys, when we see a different color, they smile. And they're like, ooh, I get to hit something really, really hard and not get yelled at about it. So, as a defensive player, you like it. I think offensively, early in camp, probably not the best thing. I think this definitely favors defense, particularly the rushes. Mm-hmm. Because offensive line are just, you know, they're not really in shape until probably week 3, week 4. Because it's just how the body operates. Like, you still need that banging, that win, that, you know, every 25 seconds you're going to try and win a war. Like, that takes time. And in the trenches, that's going to take a little extra time. So you want to see your guys lining up. You want to see your guys hitting their gaps hard and flying to the football. That's what you want. And offensively, you're just hanging on. You're running stuff to get it on film so guys can learn how do I adjust if this guy's doing this and I haven't seen it all day. Like, those are the type of things that the offense will take, you know, going into the next, you know, phase of, you know, of this process, is taking that joint practice and, you know, learning. And yes, I don't like being touched by another person during camp. So when another team takes a little bit of a cheap shot, I remember in high school as you know, when you're scrimmaging other teams, like, it's all cordial and everything, like the first series. But once somebody does something rude, like, and normally it's nothing big, but it's rude enough to catch somebody's attention that you didn't think would catch their attention.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. It's the extra stuff. Like you said, it ain't gotta be nothing big, right? No. Somebody could be you make a catch, somebody punching at the ball, which that's what you coach to do. But it's like, hey, they just blew the whistle. Why are you still punching at the ball? Right. Yeah. Or, you know, somebody just gives you a little shell, you know, because most of these, they're going like thud tempo. They're not, I mean, a couple guys did get taken to the ground, but most of the time they're not doing like full live periods in here. But you know, you'll have some of this thud, and sometimes, you know, somebody's dropped you. You know, they lay the wood a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, you get up and you're like, come give them a little something extra. So I think it's just natural. That's why I was like, to me, anytime they have them, I'm never surprised, you know, because people, you know, the fights get blown up. Oh, they're fighting. Look at, I'm like, I expect it. Right. I expect there to be fights because people are going to do that extra stuff. Because like you say, you've been seeing your own guys, y'all kind of, you know, get used to each other or whatever, and you know y'all got to look out for each other or you're gonna get yelled at, like you said. Yep. So but now it's like, okay, now I can do a little bit more. and you're just dealing with a bunch of different personalities. You got all these guys with all these different personalities. It's bound to pop off. The one thing I think could be useful, and it's probably for multiple things, I'm not trying to limit it, but just from, you know, armchair observer kind of perspective. So going into the game now, right, when they play Monday night, I think it could be useful, because you were just talking about the offense and I was thinking about the offensive line. You might not even see any of these guys in the game because I don't know how they're going to play their starters, but being able to go in practice and feel Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Montez Sweat, to feel that in practice. Now you go into the game, whether they play or not, even if their backups play, you've probably had a couple reps against those guys. So you've actually felt that. Like, I felt like going into the Eagles game, they hadn't felt some of them dudes, right? And then you get in the game, you're like, ooh, this
ooh. Yeah, that's okay. Different. I mean, you just look, that is a ridiculous D-line.
Yeah, yeah. And Young wasn't even doing team stuff. He was just doing indie.
And yet, you still can't control the defensive line. You still struggled last year controlling defensive line. Now, why is that?
Yeah. Well, you got that kind of group up front. They were better 2 years ago. They kind of fell back a little bit last year. Even I think that, you know, the numbers can be misleading. I think they were still like third in like yards per game or something like that. Of course, to me, I care about points. I was like, yeah, you know, that's cool. I'm not discrediting yards, but I'm always looking at points because the goal is to stop them from scoring.
Yeah.
I don't think they were third in points allowed. So. Yeah.
Well, their offense didn't really – really
didn't do them no favors. Didn't do them no favors.
No, didn't do them no favors.
Nah, but they got dudes up front. So I think that can be one thing that is useful coming out of it, going into the preseason game. It's like, okay, now you have felt that. You know what that feels like. You know kind of where to, you know, get your hands, how to fit up. You know, just you got a sense of it as opposed to just watching it on tape and say, oh, that dude looked like he got a little something. Okay, now you felt it. You know exactly what it feels like. Yeah. So I think that can be useful. Obviously, you know, you hope you don't have injuries, unfortunately, like the one with Marla. And I don't know that it happened. I shouldn't have said it that way because I don't know if it happened in this joint practice or not. Who knows when it happened. But
it sounds like from the reporting that it was something lingering from the offseason.
Okay. So like you said, if you have an opportunity to get something like that cleaned up now and be able to come back in the early part of the season, it makes a ton of sense because, yeah, you could try to play through it. But let's say you get to the middle of the season or whatever, and then it flares up, becomes a bigger issue, and now you're not around for late season when
you need it just sounds like it's cartilage issues that he, you know, turned something or he hurt his foot at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, training, you know, you probably feel it, but you're not really not worried about it because, you know, you're not cutting. You're not, you know.
Right.
Like taking more pressure on you. And they thought probably through, you know, the first couple of weeks training camp that scar tissue would go away.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say about this, then we'll get to the game. Different position, different side of the ball. But last year, look at JK. Right. So JK comes back, needs that little cleanup procedure. Could have not gotten it. Could have continued to try to play, but decided to get it. Missed a little time, but then came back and was there for the stretch run. And after Lamar gets hurt and Snoop is in there, the run game was the engine of this offense. Yeah. Nice. Second half of the season. And he was a big part of that run game. Even though his knee still wasn't 100% right, he was still out there, you know, working. I mean, doing what he does, really. So, you know, that is the importance of, like you mentioned before, you want to have your guys, you know, for the end of the season when it matters the most. So the fact that he was able to get that taken care of in the earlier part of the season and come back, yeah, he wasn't 100%. But without him, I mean, it would have been even rougher than it was.
It would have been bad because Gus was not even – he was probably about 85% of Gus.
Yeah. And, you know, Justice can give you, you know, a little something here and there, but he's more of a change of pace, you know.
Type, he fumbles and weird.
Well, speaking of fumbles, we ain't even talked about Melvin Gordon. But that was last year, right? His fumbling was last year. Anyway, let's get to the game. Speaking of that, let's get to the game. So I thought we'd do like we always do. We just go position group through position group. But we don't have to – because it's preseason and I don't think – like I mentioned to you before we started – I didn't even see the game live. I did go back and try to watch some of it, but I wasn't like getting into it like the way that we get into the regular season games. So we ain't got to talk about every single person in every group, but if like one or two guys, whatever, just anybody caught your eye, you know, we could name a guy and kind of talk on a little bit. Or if nobody, you just say, I don't know. I didn't really see anything. I have to wait till the next game. Yeah. We can do that too. So let's start with the D-line. Anybody, from that game that, you know, kind of caught your eye or any, or just anything interesting about the group? Or I will tell you this, let me just lay this out there. One thing that kind of surprised me was them allowing 100 rushing yards in the first half. I did not expect that to happen.
That was linebacker play.
Okay.
That was linebacker play. Travis Jones is just,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh no.
He's the name I had. Yeah.
Oh no. You got him. I mean, they're three-man rotation. And that they all could play. You don't want Matabika playing a one technique. I get that. But in a pinch, he can do it.
He can do it. Yeah.
But those three? And you throw in a little Urban?
Yeah.
just for kicks?
It's a nice group.
You can't ask for a better four-man rotation as a D tackle. And I don't know how you're going to keep Travis Jones off the field. I don't know how you keep Broderick Washington off the field. You can't keep Justin Bradley off the field.
That's what I'm saying. It's a good problem to have, man.
He's the next one. I don't know how they're going to pay him in 2 years.
And he's still putting it together. Like, it's not all put together yet, because you see the flashes where it'll be get off on one play where he's just in the backfield, like bang, he's in the backfield, right? Another play, you know, it's a perimeter run or something that gets stretched out, and he's running down making the play. So yeah. I mean, he was doing some work in his limited action in that game on Saturday night. But yeah, he was the name that I had on the defensive line. Some of the younger guys. It reminded me of last year, but it's different. Like last year, they kind of had that backup D tackle kind of competition where they had guys like Mac and Aaron Crawford. It was like two or three guys that was really, you know, kind of vying for that last spot, and they were all kind of playing well. This year is a little bit different. Rashad Nichols is still there. He was part of that last year. He's still here, and you know, he's still making strides. I think he was a rookie last year. This is his second year.
Yeah.
But Kai Cesar, Trey Botts, first preseason game. You know, undrafted guys they just brought in this year. So, yeah. You know,
They sat there.
Yeah.
And even with an injury, you know, they figured it out.
Yeah. Tightened up in the second half, particularly against the run. Things stiffened up a little bit. But let's get you mentioned that the first half, it was linebacker play. So let's talk about linebackers. Let's do that now. So I think in the first half, that group, Malik was in there. Was Dale Sean?
Yeah, it was Phillips.
Group? Yeah, Phillips was in that first group because I don't think Welch and Ross came in until second half. Yeah. So what do you think about linebacker play? Or a guy. That's right. We said we're not doing the whole thing. But
I'm disappointed in Harrison. Just disappointed. I thought he'd be better. He hasn't grown. He's an okay linebacker. He's a thumper. I guess he kind of turned into what we thought he was going to be anyway.
Yeah, in a way. That's why I was like, you know what? When you go back and think about it, coming out of Ohio State.
He doesn't fit this defense anymore. He doesn't fit. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they try to see if they can get something for him for a team that might need some depth.
Yeah.
Like get a 6th-round pick. Conditional 6 or something like that. I don't see him. There's not a need for him anymore because of Phillips. And they're going to keep either Ross or Welch.
Yeah.
You know that because of special teams.
Yep.
So I think it's Phillips' job. I think Harrison's the odd man out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make a trade after the Commanders game, to be honest.
Phillips really came on, man. When they brought him over, I don't remember, it was early part of season, mid-season last year. It was either early or mid. It was before I think it was before the second half of the season. I could be wrong about that. But he kind of came over and profiled as like this core special teamer. And he played well on special teams. But I wonder if he just kind of looked around and was like, man, there's a spot for me, an inside backer on this team. I mean, obviously the two top dogs are who they are. Mm-hmm. But that third spot?
It's wide open.
Yeah, that's kind of open.
It's wide open, but
I can go get that.
Yeah, he can. I think it's his. Welch.
He's been around. Iowa guy. Been around.
He's a guy. Yeah. I think John Ross is a little bit faster this year, a little bit stronger, which is good. He just knows the defense. He knows how to play. You can tell the difference between him and Harrison. Harrison's played linebacker at Ohio State. John Ross played linebacker in the Big Ten. There's a big difference.
And even for Malik, when he was at Ohio State, it's kind of like what has happened to him here. He played in a bunch of different spots. He didn't really have like a spot. right? He'd be outside, he'd be inside off the ball. He may even do a little bit of D-line on like third down or, you know, kick inside a little bit. So he was kind of one of these jack of all trades, master of none kind of guys. And, and it's kind of continued to sort of play out that way. But then, like you said, you got a guy in Ross who knows the defense, played it in college. You got Phillips who just came in and just was hungry and was like, I see a spot. I see a spot. And you got Welch, who, like you said, is a guy, right? Core special teamer, been around.
He's got trust of the coaches. That's
coaches
huge.
Probably trust him, yeah.
Especially as he's going to be the up guy on the punt, you know.
So, you get it. So, yeah.
I think Harrison just doesn't fit. He fit when he was drafted. He no longer fits what they want in that position now.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's it. He's not a bad player. He's just – he's one of those guys who probably is going to go to somewhere else, and he's going to play well.
How many times have we seen it with Ravens players where they go somewhere else? And, you know, it's just a, it turns out to be a better fit or a better role for them, or there's more opportunity, whatever the case may be, and they go on to be productive. So, you know, we've seen it. But I'll still be watching it, you know, the next couple games, because I do think that spot – you know, there's probably not a ton of spots that are up for grabs on this team, but I think that third sort of slash fourth inside backer spot is those spots are up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a competition there. Okay. Corner. Talked a lot about corner to lead off the show. They rotated a lot of their young guys through there because they got like three or four undrafted dudes. The kid from James Madison, Jordan Swan, I think is his name. He got some run. Lucien got some run. Mayfield got some run. So they rotated a bunch of Brandon Stevens, of course, got some run out there at outside corner. Ardarius Washington got some run. So we know that that's been a competition. And I don't know that anybody took like a clear step in that. Stevens, I don't think, has to. I mean, I think they know who Brandon Stevens is. They know what he's capable of. And like his role is solidified on this team.
Yeah.
Younger guys, I don't know if any of them really took like a clear step in that game.
No, I mean, Brandon Stevens is Jimmy Smith. That's just who he is. He's jack of all trades.
Play safety, outside, play inside. You know, I know people get on him because they're like, well, he's always around the ball. He generally has pretty good coverage, but he can't find the ball. So I know people get on him for that, but
he's once again just like Patrick Queen, just like Oway, but his is a little different. He played football, but this guy played running back.
Yeah, he was a running back.
Then moved to safe corner at Louisiana Tech.
Walked
for two
on.
Years.
Didn't have a scholarship. Walked on, left a scholarship at UCLA playing running back and walked on to play DB.
He's figuring it out. That instinct don't just show up like, oh, I'm in the league, I'm gonna be a ball hawk. No, he's got to develop that because he didn't play a lot of that in college.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got the physical and the athletic traits. I mean, he moves like a DB, but like you said,
he's a free safety. But we have one
that instinct to locate and find the ball. Like you said, that's not a switch you just flip on.
No,
it takes time.
He's better at safety.
And he's doing it at the highest level.
Yeah, he's a good NFL corner.
He's doing it in the NFL, trying to learn that at the NFL level against the best players in the world.
He would start on half of the teams in this league. Half. At corner.
And it's just a known commodity. Like I said, they know what he's got. He's played outside corner. He's played in the nickel. He's played safety. So a versatile guy, valuable guy. You've got tape. You know what he can do. It's these other guys that are still kind of, you know, and it's unfortunate that Armour Davis and Pepe have been dealing with these little nagging injuries because, you know, they're coming off their rookie years. You're kind of waiting to see, all right, what's year two going to look like? And you really haven't had an opportunity to see it, at least not, you know, a bigger sample of it. So, again, it opens the door. You know, a guy who hasn't been hurt a whole lot? Ardarius Washington.
He's been I'm just saying that. Like, he is capitalizing on everything. And he's always been the odd guy out because of Wink.
Wink didn't like him.
Didn't like him.
Allegedly, Wink didn't like him because he's too small and too slow.
Yeah, he's starting to endear himself, particularly to McDonald. You can tell that because he's playing inside with Hamilton. But he'll also play a little deeper strong safety, which
play a little safety.
That's he does very good coming forward.
Yeah, and at a certain point, best ability is availability.
And yes,
he's been available. He's been available. Some of those other guys haven't been. So you know that kind of is a leg up right now for him. Now, not to say those other guys couldn't come back, and if they can kind of get beyond their little nagging stuff and get out there and kind of show, okay, yeah, we can ball too. Hey, things can change. But right now, coming out of that game, I would say, okay, you know, you kind of got to give him a little bit of a nod because he was out there, you know, and he's continued to kind of, you know, show that, hey, I can play.
And Seymour is no slouch anymore.
No.
His game has dramatically improved since no longer having to cover man to man on an outside corner against Jamar Chase on a regular basis. Like that could do a lot for a man's safety.
I mean, we've seen it with several of these guys who were here in 2021, didn't look so hot. Come 2022 and now going into this season, it's like, hey, these guys, you know, everything you're hearing and seeing, these guys are looking better. And so you're like, well, what changed? Obviously, they've been here a little longer, a little more familiarity, but the biggest change is the system. You know, and so they
don't have to worry about crap.
Something that maybe fits them. Owe talked about it. I don't know if you watched that clip. That's the reason that I recorded that clip, because he did that sideline interview. And, you know, I like when he does interviews because I think he's a pretty thoughtful guy when he speaks. He doesn't just get up there and give like the canned robotic stuff, because they were asking him like, what is year two in Mike McDonald's defense like? And as much as we talked about last year about how he simplified things from where Wink was, Owe said, we're simplifying it even more. It's going to be even simpler.
He said,
had calls for things last year and sometimes it got a little confusing. We're streamlining it even more this year.
It got to a point, like when I was in college, when I was initially calling the plays in the huddle, we had some long calls and some checks and things along the sort. By the time I was a junior, they're like 3-word calls. And you didn't have to say the checks anymore. You didn't have to say anything. You just knew. Like, that dumbass receiver does that, guess what? I don't got to do anything. I just got to point to the sideline or point to the linebacker. Like, I don't have to check, you know, check 4-way, check 3-way. We just look at each other and go, 3-way. Okay. Here we go. We're moving. And the freedom, the mind, you just stop thinking.
That's what he talked about. He talked about that too, about them being given more, especially as rushers. He said being given more freedom to rush the way that they want, you know, that they're comfortable rushing. Yeah. And not being so restricted in, okay, in this call, you gotta use this rush. It's like, no, you know, hey, use your natural ability. That's what we brought you here for. So that was interesting. That's why I clipped that, because I was like, I think it's interesting anytime you get to hear guys talk about that part of it. And we heard that a lot the early part of last season. A lot of guys talk about how the learning was different with this defense and how it made sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like we weren't. Owe talked about that too. How he said previous years, you know, it was changing like every week. It's like we're creating a new defense almost every week. And he's like, it's not like that anymore. So that was just kind of confirmation. You and I have been talking about that, but it's always interesting to hear that. The safety, I guess that's the last kind of spot. And we kind of touched about it a little bit because we talked about Worley. Of course, Marcus Williams, Kyle Hamilton, not going to play. Didn't play in that game. I don't know if they're going to play in any of the games. Geno Stone's still out, so he didn't get any run. But we talked about Ardarius. We talked about Daryl Worley. I think Lucien, who did a little bit of both in college, they're using him to do a little bit still here in this league, in the NFL. So you got to see some of the young guys. We'll probably get to see the guy they brought in from the Bears, DeAndre Houston Carson, because he's already been practicing. They just brought him in. He wasn't here for the Eagles game. Yeah. So he'll probably get a little run out there too. So, you know, safety, I think, is one of those positions where they're pretty strong at. Even with Geno Stone being a little nicked up, they're still pretty strong at safety. Obviously, the front two guys are legit. But, you know, you're always kind of looking to see who's going to kind of pop up, you know, that next tier of guys. I don't know if anybody other than Worley. I mean, I just didn't know. I didn't hear anything about it. Like, you hear these camp reports and stuff about where guys are practicing. I had not heard anything about him playing safety.
Right.
And he's in the game, he plays it. And after the game, he interviews. He's like, yeah, I'm a safety now. That's where I'm going to play. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And he's rocking the Anthony Levine number. So,
of course. It's just a more natural position for a guy like him as he's transitioning, because he doesn't have the speed to stay out of the corner, but he's still got the mind of a corner playing safety. Yeah. And you can ask Rod Woodson. And no, I'm not comparing him to Rod Woodson or anything of the sort.
But they talked about that during the broadcast. They actually talked about that, making that transition.
It's much easier for a corner when they can see everything, especially when you're a zone corner. When you're used to looking at it and seeing it all the time, moving to safety, it's not hard. It's actually a little freeing, because you can be a half a second late as long as you have your deep covered.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you have these man corners, and that's kind of why Jimmy didn't make the most successful change to safety, because he's more of a man corner.
Yeah.
And man corners moving to safety, your eyes just want to lock in on one guy. So you're only looking at the tight end. You're not looking at the entire picture. And you'll struggle because you're just honed in, and sometimes you just forget what you're supposed to be doing. It kind of happened to Jimmy a couple times last year.
Yeah. And Worley, you know, it just looked natural.
Yeah.
It looked natural. And he looked like it gave, like, making that move playing there. It's like that's where he wants to be. It seems like that's where he, or at least he's embraced it. Whether he wanted to do it or not, I don't know. Who knows how that went? But he seems to have embraced it, because you saw him on the forced fumble. You saw him on the sack. You know, he's on the sideline telling Harbaugh, I'll close out the game for you. So he seems to have embraced it.
I will say this, playing safety, you feel yourself. You want to talk. I know DBs. I know corners talk a lot of smack. Yeah. But I believe safeties talk the most crap of all.
Look at Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams talks all kind of noise.
you just talk because you know what's going to happen. If you're good at what you do, you know what's happening. So nothing's going to get over your head. So you just talk. Yeah. And then someone tries to run it down your throat, you run up there like Worley did, you smack someone in the face.
Yeah, because you really can. You really can change the game. I mean, you're in a position to make those kinds of plays from your vantage point. So, you know, hey, if you can walk it, if you can talk it as well as you walk it, then do your thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting to see him make that move. And you know, when you talked about Rod, I just tell this quick story because I don't know if we told this on here before. I forgot where he said it, or maybe I read it about him somewhere. So he actually did both, right? We know the latter part of his career, he went from corner to safety and made that transition. He told a story once where he actually started out as safety. He said high school and college, he had always played safety. Yeah. And then he said he got to the NFL combine and he ran like low 4.4s or like high 4.3s. And they're like, no, you're a corner. When you run like that, you're a corner now. And so he ended up moving the corner in the NFL. And then, of course, like I said, towards the back end of his career, he moved back. But that was interesting to me when he told that story. Like, nah, I had always played safety. And when I could run.
I want to say it was on like NFL Network or something, because I remember watching it. And he was just like, yeah, it's like I was drafted as a corner. He wanted me to play corner. And I think what happened was, I think year six or five or six with the Steelers, they had a whole mess of safety issues. And they were like, Rod, you know, you don't play, you know, you play some safety in college, right? He's like, yeah, it's my natural spot.
Yeah.
It's where I played my whole life.
Yeah. So Worley, you know, kind of like the other way. I mean, I doubt Worley's running 4.3 or low 4.4 at this point in his career. So he's kind of going the other way. But you could see it a little bit in some of the games last year, especially that Bengals game where he played, where, you know, he almost knocked T. Higgins' head off on one ball, and then he's going back on a deep ball and like tipping it with his hand. You just kind of see he's got some of those instincts, right? Yeah. Them safety type instincts. So it kind of just made sense. But something to keep an eye on, because maybe you steal a player. You know, you had this guy who's kind of like one of your reserve corners. You move him to safety, and you know, now maybe you create something that you didn't have before. And you're like, oh, we got a little something here that we can work in, you know, to game plans and stuff. So that could be interesting. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes stuff just kind of falls in your lap. You're like, oh, we had that.
Yeah.
But that's it for me. You got anything else on that game you want to touch on?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. So, hey, we got the Commanders game coming up Monday night. We'll probably do another show next week to kind of look back at that. Of course, we'll all kind of be keeping our eyes and ears on, you know, what they do at corner, if they bring somebody else in or, you know, trade. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. NFL never lacks for, like, excitement. Like, there's always stuff happening. Even in, like, slower times of the year, there's always stuff to happen. So, hey, y'all know what to do. Like, subscribe. Check out the show on Twitter at the Fire Zone Show. You know, this will be out in your podcast feed, wherever fine podcasts are available. Until next time, y'all be good. We're gonna get up out of here.
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down.